I've got to know more about this one, I told them quietly. I know, Lily said. She lifted her hand to a temple and closed her eyes in a faint frown of pain. But she shook her head and fell silent again as Titania's binding sealed her tongue. I glanced at Fix, who managed to whisper, Sorry, Harry. Before he too closed his eyes and looked vaguely ill. I need answers, I murmured, thinking aloud. But you can't give them to me, and there can't be all that many people who know what's going on. Silence and faint expressions of pain. After a few seconds, Fix said, I think we've done all we can here. I racked my brains for a few seconds more and then said, No, you haven't. Lily opened her eyes and looked at me, arching a perfect silver-white brow. I need someone with the right information and who isn't under a compulsion not to help me. And I can only think of one person who fits the bill. Lily's eyes widened a second after I got done speaking. Can you do it? I asked her, right now. She chewed her lower lip for a second, then nodded. Call her, I said. Fix looked back and forth between us. I don't understand. What are you doing? Something stupid, probably, I said. But this is too big. I need more information. Lily closed her eyes and folded her hands on her lap, her expression relaxing into one of deep concentration. I could feel the subtle stir of energy around her. My stomach rumbled. I asked Mac to whip me up a steak sandwich and settle down to wait. It didn't take long. My sandwich wasn't halfway done when Mouse let out a sudden rumbling growl of warning and the temperature in the bar dropped about 10 degrees. The whirling ceiling fans let out mechanical moans of protest and spun faster. Then the door opened and let in sunlight made wan by a patch of dreary gray clouds. The light cast a slender, black silhouette. Fix's eyes narrowed, his hands slid casually out of sight beneath the table, and he said, Oh, her. The young woman who entered the bar could have been Lily's sister. She had the same exotic beauty, the same canted feline eyes, the same pale, flawless skin. But this one's hair was worn in long, ragged strands of varying lengths, like a Raggedy Ann doll. Each one dyed a slightly different color from frozen seas, pale blues and greens, as though each had borrowed its color from a different glacier. Her eyes were a cold, brilliant shade of green, almost entirely darkened by pupils, dilated as though with drugs or arousal. A slender silver hoop gleamed at one side of her nose, and a collar of black leather studded with silver snowflakes encircled the graceful line of her slender throat. She wore sandals and cut-off blue jean shorts, very cut-off and very tight. A tight white t-shirt strained across her chest and read in pale blue letters stretched into intriguing curves, Your boyfriend wants me. She prowled across the room to us, all hips and lips and fascinating eyes, looking far too young to move with such wanton sensuality. I knew better. She could have been a century old. She chose to look the way she did because of what she was. The Winter Lady, youngest queen of the Unseelie Court, Mab's understudy in wickedness and power. When she walked by the flowers that had bloomed in Lily's presence, they froze over, withered, and died. She gave them no more notice than Lily had. Harry Dresden, she said, her voice low, lulling, and sweet. And I said, Hello, Maeve.